Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:05 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is September 26th, and the Fed went ahead and raised interest rates in here today, and they removed the term accommodative from their statement. Well, they pretty much had to do that because they've raised rates now 8 times, and the interest rate is just about approximating the same level as the inflation measure that they favor, the PCE deflator. So that was at 2% the last time it was updated. It's going to be updated again on Friday, and there's a good chance that inflation pressures are going to pop on the upside. So the extent to which inflation pressures actually do move on the upside is going to have an impact on quite whether Fed policy is going to be neutral or tightening, and they do look likely to raise interest rates again. Well, the 10-year Treasury futures price was up about 10 points in here today, but it's been down pretty much on consecutive days. It's come right back down to the lows we saw in May, and now we're seeing just the first evidence of a bounce to going on. Well, there's certainly been a range underway for much of the last 4 or 5 months. When we look at it on a weekly basis, well, there's a pretty well-defined medium-term downtrend. But at the same time, this is a potential area of support. It wouldn't be beyond the bounds possibility that we get some steadying in here. And the reality is that when we think about the quantity of debt that is being issued by the US government, well, it is rational that they would be asking for, that investors would be demanding a higher yield. Nonetheless, the fact is that when we look at the stock market, it was in slightly negative territory in here, but it reversed an earlier decline. I think people are starting to price in the potential that the Federal Reserve is going to push the interest rate not into neutral territory, but into tightening territory over the course of not just the next interest rate hike, but over the course of next year as well. And when we look at medium-term charts, we are presented with a short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and there is approximately 150 points that could be taken out of the index, and it would still be trading above the trend mean. So I think that is part of the reason that we've had a little bit of weakness coming through. But it's also a lot to do with just how much the dollar has been moving around. So the euro has been testing this 118 level, and that represents the upper side of this 4-month range, but it's also corresponding with the region of the trend mean. I've been saying in recent audios and in the commentary on in comment of the day that I thought it was a little presumptuous to conclude that the dollar's rally is over, not least because the interest rate differential is likely to continue to widen. The ECB has got some significant challenges in the health of the European economy. They're not going to be raising rates anytime soon. So that would suggest, at least to me, that there's further room for the dollar to outperform here. Then when we look at what is going on in Europe, it was a relatively positive day, but I think it's important to look at the futures considering that Wall Street has been pulling back, and we can see for the markets that are still open that they are starting to give up some of the advance that they'd put in. And this is important for markets like Germany, which have been testing the progression of lower rally highs since the peak back in May, and has bounced from the 12,000 level on a couple of occasions over the course of the last 2 years, but it really does need to push on and through the trend mean in here right now. The FTSE MIB has also rallied back to the region of the trend mean. This is about where, if demand is going to return to dominance beyond short-term steadying, well, this is where we would need to see that happening. Well, One bright spark so far has been the fact that the Chinese market has at least stopped going down, and we had a pretty impressive rally over the course of the last 7 sessions on the A-share index to signal a failed downside break and to now pressure the progression of lower rally highs and to begin to signal that it's looking more likely than not that we'll get a reversion back up towards the mean. It's being led higher by the banking sector. And the A600 banks index has now closed its overextension relative to the mean. So and now the big question is it going to be able to sustain a move above it? Well, if we then think about the outlook for China's technology sector, Tencent has also stabilized. It's had a pretty crushing decline so far this year, and it is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. But this is a major loss of uptrend consistency, and the absolute minimum requirement to even begin to suggest that we have a return to demand dominance beyond short-term steadying would be a break in the progression of lower rally highs. And it's still a fair way from attaining that particular hurdle. Well, with the dollar being a little bit steadier, gold prices remain locked in this very tight range around the $1,200 area. This is really quite uncharacteristic of gold. And the last time we had an inert range like this was in May and June, but it was a good example that explosions, excuse me, that ranges are explosions waiting to happen, and this range is going to be exactly the same. When it eventually does break, whether that is on the upside or the downside, it's going to do so in a dynamic manner, and it will change whichever it will, I think, catalyze sentiment towards gold. Well, the reality is that gold is oversold in the short term, but it really does need to demonstrate more than the fact that it can just bounce on a short-term basis. It needs to follow through on the upside to really confirm that $1,200 is the extent of the pullback. Silver prices, having got up to the lower side of the overhead trading range, pulled back in here today, so they have still the sequence of small ranges, one below another, is still intact. Platinum prices had staged somewhat more of a rally, but and they have not pulled back by nearly the same extent that silver has. So that's suggesting at least that there is the potential that platinum will be able to hold its advance. Palladium has been leading in no uncertain terms, and it was in positive territory in here today. And copper prices have also staged an impressive rally, and despite the fact they were pretty much unchanged, the more important point is that they've held that big move on the upside we saw last week. So what that suggests is that the industrial resources are starting to take a tailwind from the stabilization of the Chinese markets. But I think we also need to keep an eye on what's going on with the renminbi, because certainly, there was some activity to stabilize the currency back in August, but no real appetite for a follow-through on that action. And the renminbi has been weakening since then. It's pretty much unwound the pop on the upside that we had in late August. Well, when we look at that on a weekly basis, this doesn't look like anything other than a consolidation for the dollar, and it's slowly but surely unwinding its overbought condition. I think that, considering the antagonism that is continuing to develop between the USA and China, that China has no great appetite for strengthening its currency in a dynamic manner. And the pressure that's coming to bear on the Indian banking sector continues to unfold, and it was a pretty volatile day in here today. If we look at the biggest movers, well, Tata Motors was pulling back rather aggressively, whereas India Bulls Housing was up in a dynamic manner. Then you also had Vedanta, which is also listed in the UK, doing well. Well, if we look at, for example, HDFC, HDFC is one of the big banks and housing participants, and it has pulled back below the trend mean. Well, it's also in large part state-sponsored, so quite how much pressure will be brought to bear by the RBI on a state-owned lender is, I think, a big question in terms of this appetite for imposing better governance on the financial sector. But the bigger picture is that the rupee is still weak, and India still has a large current account deficit, and oil prices have been trending higher. Well, oil was a little softer in here today, but it is holding this break above $80. And as long as it is doing that, then we can conclude that this is a successful breakout and that we're back in a medium-term bull market environment. So I think that commodities are starting to turn back to a position of outperformance. Rio Tinto has bounced from the region of its trend. Well, if it's bounced back above its trend mean and from the region of the lows that we saw last year. But they've announced a pretty substantial share buyback. Glencore has also announced an impressive buyback, and it has also pushed back above the trend mean. Among the industrial miners, then, Vale has outperformed, and now it is pressuring the upper side of its range. And really a clear downward dynamic would be required to question potential that this isn't going to break on the upside and reassert the medium-term bull market environment. Well, the LME Metals Index is also has stabilized, and it is looking increasingly likely that it will unwind or further unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean. So when we look at exactly what's going on in terms of the Federal Reserve and interest rates generally, well, we still have very low interest rates in a good part of the world. There are trillions of dollars worth of bonds that are still trading in negative territory. And that isn't about to end anytime soon. We still have a highly accommodative monetary policy on a global basis. What I do find interesting, though, is that when we look at the combined balance sheets of central banks and redenominate them into US dollars, that the total is contracting. That it was close to 21 trillion at the beginning of the year, and it is below 20 trillion today. And that is a clear representative portion of the fact that the ECB is no longer buying bonds, that the Federal Reserve is reducing the size of its balance sheet. China has been pretty much neutral, and therefore it's only really Japan that is aggressively buying assets. And Japan's participation in quantitative easing continues to represent a tailwind for that market, that it is the market which has the greatest potential for asset price appreciation as a result of quantitative easing, because it's the only one that's still engaged in it. And the second section index has confirmed near-term support around the 7,000 level, and it has rallied again now, to this time to break its progression of lower rally highs. So I think when we think about developed markets, Japan is trading at a relative discount, and it is moving to a position of outperformance. I think the outlook for bonds is probably for some strengthening in terms of the price over the next while. I'm rather leery of concluding that the break above 3% is going to be sustained indefinitely. I think we're perhaps not quite there yet in terms of of people starting to worry about the outlook for the Treasury market. But what we have already started to see is that other sections of the bond market are not performing quite as well. For example, the Putnam Municipal Opportunities Trust has been cutting its dividend on regular occasions over the last few years. Now, it is oversold in the short term, and it has come back down towards lows we haven't seen in at least 5 years. But there's a well-defined downtrend here. So the market timing element of thinking, well, this is a market that could potentially rally by about 50 cents, but then would be approaching a pretty major area of resistance in terms of the medium-term downtrend, then there's probably not a great deal to be gained by short-termism, that the much bigger picture is that this chart is trending down, that US 10-year Treasury yields may not quite hold the move above 3%, but how likely is it that they're going to sustain a move below the trend mean? That's perhaps the much bigger question, and I think it's quite unlikely. So, what that I think then leads us to the conclusion that the bond bull market is over, but that it's a slow burn in terms of the way that this market is eventually going to top and decline. Well, the other outlook then is for inflation, and well, the US has migrated from monetary stimulus to fiscal stimulus, and there is a likelihood that interest rates will continue to rise and that inflationary pressures will continue to mount, and not least because there is a we have full employment and the manufacturing, for example, hit a new all-time high in the US this last time it was recorded. So there's not a lot of slack in the market, and those are the kinds of things that lead to an inflationary outcome. So I do think that the Federal Reserve is going to continue to raise interest rates. Consumer confidence is still very high, but the stock market is a little bit overbought in the short term. This rivetingly consistent progression of higher reaction lows has been intact now for nearly 6 months. Eventually, it will be broken, and that will signal that we're back in a more of a corrective phase, but it's coming back towards the progression of higher reaction lows right now. So we'll probably know this week whether we're going to get a bounce or not. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.